Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janavada Girivardhane. Jaya Gopi Janavada Girivardhane. Yasoda Nandana Gajanana Ramana. Yasoda Nandana Gajanana Ramana. Yasoda Nandana Vajanana Rangana. Yamuna Tira Nachari. 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 Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Hari Nam Sankirt. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We continue to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 25, entitled The Characteristics of King Puranjan, text number 18. Hima nirjara viprasmat kusumakara vayuna chalat pravala vittapa Nalini Tata Sampade. Translation. The branches of the trees standing on the bank of the lake receive particles of water carried by the spring air from the falls coming down from the icy mountain. Purport. In this verse, the word Hima Nirjara is particularly significant. The waterfall represents a kind of liquid humor or rasa relationship. In the body, there are different types of humor, rasa or mellow. The supreme mellow relationship is called the sexual mellow, adiras. When this adiras or sex desire comes in contact with the spring air moved by Cupid, it becomes agitated. In other words, all these are representations of rupa, rasa, gandha, sabda, and sparsa. The wind is sparsha, or touch. The waterfall is rasa, or taste. The spring air, kusumakara, is smell. All these varieties of enjoyment make life very pleasing, and thus we become captivated by material existence. The Bhagavad Gita describes the material energy, Bhumira po nalo vayu, kamana budre ivacha, ahankaramityame, bina prakritirastada, as the eight separated energies of Krishna, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Then in the next verse, it is said, Apareya itastvanyam prakritim vidime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. Besides this external energy of Krishna, consisting of these eight elements, there is also Krishna's apara shakti. That apara shakti is the living being. And the living being preoccupies himself with yayedam daryate jagat. He is trying to exploit these material energies. And that is basically what's happening. So when the original situation, which is the situation of the spiritual world, sometimes referred to as the Prema Sagar or the ocean of transcendental love, when that original situation transforms due to the influence of lust and envy, Ichchadvesa Samuttena Dvandvamahena Bharata Sarva Bhutani Samaham Sargiyanti Parantapa. All living beings in this world are overcome by the influence of delusion, which manifests in the form of desire and hate. Then we have this scenario, the material world, the reflection of the original spiritual world. The spiritual world, which consists of Visuddhisattva, pure goodness, which is only meant for the pleasure of Krishna. Rishikena Rishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. There is not a trace of selfishness in the spiritual world. It simply doesn't exist. Every living being in the spiritual world is only absorbed in service, only absorbed in serving Krishna and in serving the Vaishnavas, and no living being in the spiritual world is ever envious of any other living being who is also engaged in serving Krishna. We cannot imagine. It's just theoretical. Right? We have no such experience. Rather, we are fighting. We are fighting with our lower nature. We are fighting with lust, envy, greed, and so on. These qualities are always there, somehow or other lingering in the background and sometimes in the foreground. But basically, it is the normal relationship that exists in this material world. One looks upon another with the evil eye, with the eye of suspicion, with the eye of possibly ulterior motive, with a desire to exploit. In the material world, marriage has sometimes been described as legalized prostitution. Where does such a bold statement come from? From the very fact of this exploitive nature, that we marry with an agenda. We don't marry out of love. We marry because we want someone to supply, to fulfill all the desires that we have cherished. Yes, we need someone to serve us and to tirelessly bring us sense gratification. This desire for sense gratification hounds us. It is said these are like witches, karma and jnana, like witches, the desire to enjoy the material energy. We are possessed. Or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives another analogy. He gives the analogy of a person who is very skinny, but at the same time has a voracious appetite. And he's eating a lot, but he never gains weight. Why? Because he has worms. So the worms are taking away the nourishment. So in the same way, as long as we have these desires to enjoy the material energy for ourselves, then the nourishment of bhakti is taken away by this desire. This desire is like a worm that takes away the nourishment that we are meant to get from bhakti. And thus, we cannot fully relish our devotional service. And thus, spiritual life is experienced as a struggle, as a burden, and so on, in that stage. What to do then? Still, we hear about the pure and unalloyed service of the eternal associates of the Lord in the spiritual world. We hear about their original love and try to imagine it. It is said that there are descriptions how Srimati Radharani is being assisted by her various gopi attendees who are helping her to dress. Right? And it's not just quick. Hours and hours are spent to just make it perfect in various ways. Just the tilak alone, which is a dot, right? A sindu dot, but not just a dot. Rather, there are intricate designs. And so much energy is spent to just make these designs. Yes, there is no doubt. Srimati Radharani dresses to kill. She dresses in a way to drive the mind of Krishna completely mad, to capture it in all ways. That is her intention. That is her intention. But only to give pleasure to Krishna. Not like material women who are the perverted reflection of that same mood and also dressed to kill and then just get the guy, wrap him around the finger, chew him up, spit him out. Next. Right? And who are not experiencing love, but who are enjoying the power of my beauty. And these men, they crawl at my feet. Such ecstasy. So in this way, the material rasas are ugly. Ugly. They are about power. They are about power. They are about lording it over. They are about being master, being adored, being great, being wonderful, being rich, being successful, beautiful, being it. The center of the universe. Me. I am the center of this world. Me and mine, of course. Aham mameti. I and mine. So, this is, therefore, the material consciousness is so far removed from the original transcendental consciousness of the spiritual world. Therefore, we cannot expect that we can understand the Adi Ras, the original rasa. The original rasa of love that exists between Radha and Krishna. How can we understand? So the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is describing a nice story. He's describing how once in Javat, in the residence of Srimati Radharani, where she stayed with her in-laws, how once in the courtyard of the house, while the elders were not present, but many other gopi servants were there, that at that time a beautiful celestial lady appeared in the courtyard of Radharani's house. She was effulgent, and she was just inconceivably beautiful and clearly not a creature of this earth. So they were all looking at who is this, and Radharani sent someone to welcome this personality and to inquire who she was. But that celestial lady was not prepared to answer any inquiry. She remained quiet. So then Radharani came out herself and said, "I hope we have not offended you in any way, but if we did, please forgive us. But I think that truly the reason of your silence is that you are experiencing some great sadness in your heart. But I want you to know that here in this assembly, you can be completely comfortable, because we are all young ladies like you. We are sharing the same kind of feelings like you. And it is when one expresses the distress in one's heart to others who can understand, one experiences great relief." Still no answer. Anyway, it took a while, and finally the goddess began to speak, and then she said that actually the nature of my distress, the cause of my distress, O Srimata Radharani, is you. You are the cause of my distress. So Radharani said, "What have I done? What offense have I committed?" No, it is not that. What you have done is not the issue. It is what Krishna has done to you. What Krishna has done to you is unbearable to me. How could Krishna, how could he leave you? You have dedicated your whole life in love to him. In this way, she was speaking. She said, "How could Krishna be so inconsiderate, so cold, so hard-hearted, to ignore your pure and dedicated love?" So Radharani was not in agreement. She said, no, this is not the correct understanding, actually. No. Krishna and I are never separated. Never. That even if we are physically separated, we are not separated because our minds are one. Our minds are one. Therefore, we are never separated. Well, the goddess said, if you are never separated from Krishna, right, that is hard to understand, right? It looks very much so that you are separated and are going through great suffering. Srimati Radharani said, "No, I'm never separated from Krishna, and Krishna is never separated from me. We are simply one." Then the goddess said, "Well, if that is true, then if you can close your eyes and just make Krishna manifest here, then I will believe you." Srimati Radharani did close her eyes, intensely thought of Krishna. At that moment, the goddess took off her disguise and took the form of Krishna. And when Radharani opened her eyes, Krishna was there. Yes, the power of her attraction to Krishna had brought Krishna. So Radha and Krishna are one. They are one in purpose. This is from a book called Prema Samputa from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. And it explains how both are completely dedicated to one another, right? To pleasing one another. Sadhanam hridayam taham sadanam sadavuridya mayam mat anyate na janati naham tebya managapi. That my devotee is always in my heart, Krishna says. And Krishna is always in the heart of his devotee. So in this way, that intimate relationship is there. How different are material relationships? They don't work, right? It just doesn't work very easily. There is fighting, there is disagreement, there are so many issues going on, counseling is needed. You know, it starts with courting, ends up in court, and so many such type of issues could occur, right? So many difficulties in relationships in this world, because everyone has a personal agenda. Here in the purport, the sexual mellow is also referred to as adiras. So also the sexuality of the material world is described here as adiras, the same name that is given to the original attraction between Radha and Krishna. Because the adiras is the central taste, or the central, the topmost experience in the material world, and everything centers around that. Srimad Bhagavatam describes that all the beautiful sights in nature, all the beautiful fields, the mountains, the streams, the birds chirping in the trees, and the light of the sun sort of playing with the leaves and shining through in beautiful ways, and the clouds adding colors and shades and all that, that it is simply a backdrop for sex life, it is said. The entire material world, and all the beauties of nature are a backdrop for sex life, and ultimately it comes to that. All material activity comes to that. It comes to that. That's where the Bollywood movie ends, that's where Hollywood ends, that's where everything ends. Like, that's where all the love story ends, in bed. What can be said? Yes. Lust will take over. That is the ultimate driving factor behind everything. Brahmananda once spoke to Srila Prabhupada and said that, you know, when I was in university, I had a professor, and, you know, I wrote an essay at that time, and I wrote an essay about the inherent religious nature that is deeply there in every living being. And that within every living being there is this inclination towards God. Right? He said, and this foolish professor of mine, you know, he didn't agree. He was saying no. No. He was saying the basic drive in all living beings is sex. Just see. And Prabhupada said, your professor was right. So, well, with this kind of an analysis of the material world, we are now being confronted in this narration that Narada Muni is telling King Prachinabarhi in the allegoric story of King Puranjan. And basically Narada Muni is warning the king. He's warning the king. Do not underestimate. By no means underestimate the influence of lust. Right? In this material world, it's all pervading. It's everywhere. There is no question that one can escape. We see in the Bhagavatam that story of Subari Muni, who was a powerful sage who in a previous yuga, and therefore was able to perform austerities underwater. He had very intelligently chose a place underwater. He thought the world is full of lusty desires, lusty activities that incite the mind and senses. Therefore, let me find a safe place. I will go underwater. Some bubbles, maybe. Anyway, that's in the cartoon, you know, what can I say? I'm from the cartoon generation, so my mind sees all these things in cartoons. Blub, 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 blub. Bubbles. And so Bari Muni seated there. But then, once Subari Muni saw two fish, fish engaged in some sort of sexual activity, even fish. Yes, even fish. And when Subari Muni saw this activity, it awoke something in his mind. It agitated something. And gradually, he gave up his sheltered position and went back into the world and appeared before a king. At that time, his beard was sort of mixed with green algae from underwater. And he asked the king for the hand of his young daughter. And the king looked at the sage. The king looked at his daughter and is thinking, oh no, what am I going to do? My daughter will be very unhappy. But if I don't please this sage, he will curse me. The sage could see that the king was bewildered, so he left the palace. Then by mystic power took the form of a beautiful young prince, came back, and then not only did the princess want to marry him, but her sisters also, and he wound up with 50 wives. Then he forgot self-realization for a long time. That is Bhagavatam. So we are seeing warnings. This verse, at this stage of the narration, Narada Muni is trying to impress upon the mind of Maharaj Prachinabarhi that he should not become bewildered by these external things that awaken lusty desires. We can see spring, nice breezes, nice smells. Because within this activity, all the senses are involved. When it comes to the relationship with Krishna, upon seeing the Supreme Lord, it is also interested that all the senses are involved. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we are seeing that Gopakumar is traveling throughout the universe, coming to higher and higher abodes. So at one stage in the story, he's on the way to the spiritual world. On the way, he comes to Siddhaloka. Not Siddhaloka. It is the Tapaloka. Yeah. Maharjana Tapaloka. Tapaloka. So when he comes to Tapaloka, there in Tapaloka, the predominating personalities are the four Kumaras, it is said. And the residents of Tapaloka, they are all absorbed in austerity. And they spend their time in meditation on the Supreme Lord. And they tell Gopakumar to do the same. But Gopakumar is not satisfied. Gopakumar says that he wants to see, he has a desire to see Krishna, to see the Lord. These personalities in Tapaloka are saying, why do you want to see? Don't you understand that seeing is really happening in the mind? You just catch an image, it reflects on the eye, and a signal is sent to the mind. So real seeing is happening in the mind. Why do you want to see with the eye? Meditate. and see in the mind. And Gopu Kumar says, no, I do meditate, but I also want to see with the eye. So that is a fact. That the devotees, the four Kumaras themselves, smelt the Tulasi at the lotus feet of Krishna. And that smell changed their hearts and made them devotees of Krishna. So yes, we want Krishna through all the senses. We want to see Him, we want to smell, we want to taste, to touch, to hear. All the senses engaged in service to Krishna. That is part of the original experience in the spiritual world. So in this sexuality, all these sensual experiences are also there. Rupa, rasa, gandha, sapta, sparsa. So also here in the material world. So it's very absorbing, very powerful. It is said that the material energy is the Bahirangi Shakti, the external energy of Krishna, the spiritual world, the internal energy, and the living being, the Tatastha Shakti, the marginal energy. So, the living being cannot expect to overcome Maya. Although the living being is described as superior to this Maya or external energy, still, Maya is stronger. That's interesting. The living being is superior energy, but Maya is stronger. Why is Maya stronger? Because of the Pratibimba principle. The principle that the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. And because the spiritual world is full of unlimited beauty and attraction, therefore that beauty and attraction is also in the material world. And therefore, the material energy is more powerful than we are. Therefore, it is not possible to overcome the material energy on our own strength. In other words, lust cannot be conquered by determination. It is not possible. On our own strength, it cannot be done. We will again fall prey to the material energy sooner or later. Patantyana drita yusmadangrahaya. Therefore, yenyada vindakshya vimuktimaninas tvairasta bhavada visuddha buddhiya. One must first take shelter of Aravindakshya, the lotus-eyed Supreme Lord. When we become captured by Krishna, yes, then we can overcome this lust. Captured to serve Krishna. Not captured to enjoy Krishna, but captured to serve Krishna. Admindriya prithivanshatara bolikam krishnendriya prithiyachadara premanam. To satisfy the senses of Krishna. Then Krishna also will satisfy our senses automatically. But our focus is service to Krishna. And in that way only, can we become free easily from the material energy. Daivyesa gunamayi mama maya duratye ama meviye papadyante mayametam tarantite. By taking shelter of Krishna, we can overcome the material energy. Anatapasamam saksat bhakti yoga madokshaje. Then lust will disappear from the heart. Otherwise, in Rupa Goswami's Pajavali, which is his verse book, there is a verse. I'm now not quoting, I'm just using the translation, I'm not even quoting it verbatim, because I haven't memorized it actually. I should maybe. But basically the verse is saying that not by practicing austerities, not by great learning, or not by wearing saffron cloth, and by vows of celibacy, can lust be conquered. But by a little bit of devotional service, lust can very easily be conquered. So, this is our business, to somehow or other engage in service. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada translated the word bhakti with devotional service and putting an emphasis in that way on service. And that is our opportunity. So this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is for that. It's for service. This Krishna Balaram Mandir is also for that. It is for service. Right? We are here, this holy Dham is an opportunity for service, somehow or other. Of course, service, sravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, hearing, chanting and remembering is also service. Or shingaratan mandira marjanado, to clean Krishna's temple. All these things are part of service. That is our opportunity to render service. So now that we are here in this sacred place where Krishna is eternally residing, unfortunately we cannot enter. Unfortunately the Dham is covered by a layer of yoga maya. The transcendental energy of the Dham comes through, but we cannot perceive the eternal realm. We cannot perceive. And although now we are so close in Vrindavan Dham, still we are far from Krishna. Still, we cannot come close. The key to come that will bring us closer to Krishna is service. And particularly, service by to the pure devotee, because Gopi Bhartapada Kamalayur Dasana Dasana Das, servant of the servant, 100 times removed. Therefore, I like it very much that here on this Bhaktivedanta Swami Mark there is the arch. The arch. That arch was built at the time when Prabhupada came back from preaching in the West, and he had a great reception by the Vrijbasis, who glorified him for his amazing achievements of going to the West and bringing all these devotees. And that arch was made as an arch to commemorate Prabhupada's glorious victory, just as in the world, you know, they have, like in France, in Paris, the Arc de Triomphe, right? The victory arch. So that gate, that Prabhupada gate, is a victory arch of Prabhupada's great success. And it is through that gate that we enter. Through that gate that we enter into Vrindavan. It is very nice. Satsarup Maharaj wrote a book which is called The Samadhi Diary. Maharaj wrote many books, you know, you can't read them all, you have to. But this one, The Samadhi Diary, I think you should look for it. It's a super nice book, right? Because what it is describing, he is describing how for him, the two most sacred places in Vrindavan are not Radhakund and Shyamakund, you might think. No, are Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi and Srila Prabhupada's house. Here, right here. And, boy, that like, for me, it came straight from the heart. Right? I thought, yes, you know, that's exactly how I feel about it. Because I came here to Vrindavan when I was still looking for the truth in life. And I walked on that road, and I came through that Prabhupada gate, and I came here to this Krishna Balaram Mandir in the evening, and then I joined this temple at that time. At that time, Srila Prabhupada Samadhi was not constructed yet. There was a little simple shed, right, where Prabhupada on top of Prabhupada's remains. And it was simple. And we would circumambulate in the morning 3 times after the arati, everyone, just like circumambulating Tulasi. All the devotees would walk around in a great circle. And then in the winter we would chant japa in Prabhupada's house, which is so special because one can see in Prabhupada's house, one sees many paintings on the wall. Some of these paintings are illustrations of Prabhupada's, of descriptions in Prabhupada's books. Other paintings and pictures are pictures of some of the deities around the world. You can see. They were gifts by devotees. And why did they give these pictures of their deities? There was a plan behind it. A plan to plant a seed in Prabhupada's mind, to somehow or other attract Prabhupada to come to their temple. That was the idea. Put a picture of these deities in his house, he'll get attached to the deities and will want to come and take their darshan. Then he'll come to us. So the house is full of loving exchange. One can be there and perceive. What shall we say? These two are indeed the holiest places because it is through service to Srila Prabhupada that we really get entry into Vrindavan. Krishna is everywhere here. Radhe, Radhe. Yes, Radhe, Radhe. Everywhere, everywhere. So many devotees have rendered service in this Dham by creating temples. And in this way, installing deities. And in this way, revealing Krishna. How nice. On places where Krishna performed his pastime. Not far from here. Garuda Govinda. Garuda Govinda? Isn't Garuda with Vishnu? No. Sridham. Sridham took the position of Garuda. And Krishna stood on his shoulders. Garuda Govinda. Here at Chattika, you can see. So near, very close, not so far. Rickshaw can take. How nice. Give some donation, they'll take off the cloth and you can see. So many amazing places. So all these gifts are there where the Vaishnavas revealed the Dham. But Srila Prabhupada, he revealed it to us more than anyone else. And through service to Srila Prabhupada, we come to the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami, we come to the lotus feet of the Goswamis, and we come to the point where we can enter Sri Vrindavan Dham and perceive these original pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So we are very fortunate that we are here in the holiest place of the entire Vrindavan, here in the Krishna Balaram Mandir. And Prabhupada says, and what in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and why Krishna Balaram on the altar? Because they are Gornitai. And without Gornitai, how could we even try to approach Vrindavan? Just see. So here, I'm very happy to be back in this holiest of holy places, Srila Prabhupada's Krishna Balaram Mandir. I won't take more of your time. If there are any questions or comments, then I'll try to answer. Maybe start again.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your class. Maharaj, in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada explains in that shloka, Apurya Marna Machala Pratishtam, that as long as the body is there, the desires may be there. But a pure devotee loses the inclination to satisfy those material desires. So how to understand that? Desire means there is some desire to, and some address, there is no inclination to
fulfill that. Apurya Marna Achala pratistam apasamudra pravisanti yatvat tatvat kama yat pravisanti sarve sakam what is sashanti abnudi sakama kami. That verse in the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, text number 70, is describing how the rivers incessantly flow into the consciousness. And Prabhupada is saying that he puts the emphasis not on that we should try to stop the rivers. Try and stop the rivers and block them. Right? Block lust by building a dam, a wall. No, he doesn't say that. Prabhupada says we can overcome the influence of these incessant rivers by the fullness of our heart. So when the heart is filled and filled with bhakti, then there's no more space. So first, we throw in big boulders of devotional service in the very deep pit of lust that is in our hearts and fill it up. Then we put in smaller stones of refined Vaishnav etiquette and respecting every living being, which takes time to learn, finer stones, and finally in a mood, in a complete service attitude, we fill the little bits of space with fine sand, and then there is no space left for all. The heart is full with service to the Supreme Lord. Then koi baat nahi, then all these rivers of lust and other rivers, they will not affect us at all. Then we will just relish serving the Vaishnavas and serving the Supreme Lord. Of course, I'm only speaking theoretically. Yeah, I've read about it. Still trying to fill all the spaces between the service that Prabhupada gave us. Prabhupada gave us devotional service. We can do some service. Those are the serious boulders, the service we do. But then we have to fill the spaces by becoming Vaishnavas. Very difficult. Vaishnavas are very respectful, very humble, very wonderful personalities. They don't see any fault. They are adosha darshi. Oh when can we become Vaishnavas of that caliber? Yes. There is a microphone. It can come your way. It can. And it is, because there's noise also from the road and everywhere. And there's age, and we are as deaf as anything. Yes. This.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. I was thinking, like, one offense of Vrindavan is to think that Vrindavan is just a normal place, not a spiritual place. And how I can concentrate or see Vrindavan as spiritual, because I don't have sometimes this consciousness, and especially Vrindavan is changing all the time. Like, even 4 or 5 years ago, I came here and Parikrama Marg was... Yeah. Natural and so on, and you have seen. So how to see Vrindavan and like change the consciousness?
Yeah, our heart is all crying when we think of how Vrindavan is gradually becoming covered by more and more material arrangements. Where is Raman Reti? Where are the peacocks? Where is the soft Parikrama Marg? Where is the Krishna Balaram tree? Where have they all gone? Right? Oh, we can cry when we think about these things, but they haven't gone. They're still there. Everything is there. Nothing has changed. It's only not manifest to our eyes. The covering is there, but everything is the same. The same mercy that was always there is still there. The mercy hasn't diminished at all. It is still the full-fledged spiritual world. So, no amount of Delhi traffic, no amount of loudspeakers, no amount of shops across the road can change the transcendental nature of the Dhamma. So in that way we're not worried. But how can we see? Chant Hare Krishna, spend our time hearing from Prabhupada's books, do some service in this way we can remember. We have to understand that we are not, if we want to approach Vrindavan, Ado Guru Padasraya, first we have to give up all independence and become the property of our spiritual master. That's a big thing. That takes about almost all of our life and possibly next life also. Right? You know, it may take many lifetimes. Ado Guru Padasraya. That's the first thing, to become the property of our spiritual master completely, and to just therefore realize my time isn't mine. My time is my spiritual master's time. And now let me just dedicate my life completely to his service. And if in that spirit one comes to Vrindavan and chants Hare Krishna and hears about Krishna, then Krishna may lift the curtain. We're waiting for that. We're waiting for Krishna to lift the curtain, which he sometimes does because he's very merciful. Oh, when will Krishna lift the curtain? We are waiting for that. Now I will stop because it's getting late. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.